I think the mood of investors is far from despondent, but it is wary and cautious until we get a much clearer signal on the glide path for interest rates, both in the United States and in the global economy.
Hello and welcome to the REIT Report. I'm your host, Sarah Borgson-Quito. Today, I'm pleased to be joined by Richard Barkham, Global Chief Economist and Head of Global and Americas Research at CBRE, to discuss his latest findings on global real estate capital flows. Richard, thanks for coming back on the podcast.
Well, it's a pleasure to be with you again.
So first of all, can you give an overview of how global cross-regional capital flows stood up in the first half on a historic basis? And how would you describe the general mood of the global real estate investor today?
Well, I think global cross-border capital flows are much the same as domestic capital flows at the moment and pretty weak. Let me quote you some statistics. Global cross-regional capital flows reached 34.5 billion in H1 2023. So that was down 52% from H1 22 and down 44% from H1 over the period 2018 to 2022. It's a pretty weak year, really. And I would say also, I think the mood of investors is far from despondent, but it is wary and cautious until we get a much clearer signal on the glide path for interest rates, both in the United States and in the global economy.
And where were the capital flow trends most pronounced? And were there any special factors behind these numbers?
I mean, there were, you know, capital flows are, you know, as I say, quite depressed. I would say a couple of things that caught my eye were an inflow of capital into North America from Singapore and Japan. And that was based on, I think, Singapore's GIC invested $14 billion in a buyout of Store Capital REIT. And there was a big $1 billion Japanese investment into New York City office. So I think, you know, that Asian capital flow into America was noteworthy. I think also the other thing I noticed, and it's a bit more negative, was just the pullback from American investors into Europe. American investors have been, you know, quite substantially investing in European real estate. But, you know, those capital flows in the first half of 2023 are down 68% from the capital into Europe in the first half of 2022. And that is the lowest first half total since 2010. So those are the things that saw to me. And, you know, it's the same story. It's tight credit availability. It is high interest rates, it's economic uncertainty, and that's just making global investors very cautious.
And as you look across the various property sectors, are you seeing any real shifts in what's attracting global investors? For instance, we've seen industrial for a long time has been very attractive. Do you anticipate any significant changes in those trends going forward?
Well, I do anticipate changes, but I mean, what we've seen in, you know, they're not evident at the moment. You know, industrial logistics remains the most sought after property type by cross-border investors. You know, 37% of cross-regional flows went into the industrial logistics sector. And, you know, no surprise, multifamily is the second largest sector. So, you know, those are sectors with, you know, extraordinarily good tailwinds behind them, even in these depressed times. I mean, I do expect alternatives, data centers, hotels, and also life sciences as we go forward to attract a greater share of investment capital. That's what I expect. But the patterns of the last 5 years are evident in the H1 data.
And does that also mean that office will likely stay depressed for some time?
Yes, I think it probably will. There's a lot of negativity about the office sector. It's worth noting, just in passing, since you've raised it, at CBRE, you know, we're a big office leasing broker. And actually, the number of leases that we're seeing signed this year is only 5% down on 2019. But of course, the amount of space that companies is taking is down 30%. So, you know, we've got that huge increase in vacancy. At some point, I think people will say that there is real value to be had here and that the negative sentiment has gone too far, but not so much at the moment.
And two numbers that caught my eye in terms of capital inflows and outflows included a large inflow from Spain into the US, and at the same time, large outflows from the US to India. What was happening there?
Well, I mean, I think a Spanish investment firm put $500 million into US industrial sector. I don't know that is a typical trend, and I don't know that we're going to see a repeat of that. I suspect that was a one-off. The US capital outflows into India, however, increased from $70 million in H1 2022 to $290 billion in H1 2023. Now, it's not a big amount of money in the scale of past years of investment, but you know, I think people will be noticing, we're all noticing just that India, when all of the rest of the world is slowing down economically, India is, you know, bucking the trend. India is growing pretty rapidly. And I think also there's a lot of negativity around offices in the United States, but that's not true in India. India remains both an economy that the domestic demand is going to create demand for financial services, and that's going to boost office demand. But it also remains a destination for offshored service sector activity, including IT. So I think the growth story, the story around offices, US investors are noticing that. And that's why capital flows are picking up. And I expect that to increase.
Interesting. And is the logistics sector in India also of big interest?
Yeah, it absolutely is. There has been a lot of development of the industrial logistics sector, moving into a kind of a modern distribution network. It's a vast market, and it's one in which consumer spending is growing extremely rapidly. So there's further gains there, I think.
And Richard, what does your research tell us about foreign investor interest in US cities?
Well, I mean, just following the patterns, we notice, I think, over the long term, New York and Los Angeles have attracted a huge share of cross-border investment. I think they're probably the first and the third largest real estate investment markets in the world, or they might be the first and the second. So the nature of those cities and their huge international prestige makes them a continued destination. But also that the trends that emerged over the last 5 or 6 years of investment into the fast-growing Sunbelt cities, including Dallas, Charlotte, and Atlanta, and also Miami, actually. Lots of interest in Miami, which I think is partly coastal city and partially part. So New York, Los Angeles, Miami, Dallas, Charlotte, and Atlanta, they were all in the top 10. So there's a mix there of traditional favorites and fast-growing Sunbelt cities that are attracting investors.
I know we're still in September, but looking ahead to 2024, any thoughts yet on how things are going to shape out?
Well, I mean, we had expected a little bit of a second half revival in capital markets activity, but the very resilience of the US economy, the fact that it's taken longer to get inflation under control, we're making good progress with inflation, but the economic resilience has made, you know, investors wary that I think interest rates are going to be higher for longer. And that's kind of knocked any hope of a second half revival. But as we move through and economic weakness comes in and, you know, we get further progress on inflation and we get wage growth under control a little bit more, then I think investors will begin to see a clearer glide path for US interest rates. And I think that would allow at least moderate recovery in capital markets activity in 2024. Probably not until the second quarter or possibly even the third quarter. But we are expecting a recovery, albeit not back to pre-pandemic levels, but certainly better than 2023 as we look into 2024 and we begin to see interest rates coming down a little bit more clearly.
Excellent. And Richard, we've covered lots of ground, but anything else you'd like to highlight from your research?
No, I mean, it would be off topic a little bit, but CBRE conducted its mid-year global outlook a couple of weeks back, and that's available on the CBRE website. And I'm not talking to you just to plug that, but when I listen to everybody talking about global real estate, what's apparent is actually, apart from in the office sector where conditions are very weak, the actual fundamentals of demand and supply in global real estate and in American real estate are actually pretty strong, very robust, given that we've had a big shock to the economy in terms of interest rate rises. So I was very encouraged by that. outside of offices, fundamentals in real estate, pretty healthy, even to the point of being robust. So at some point, when cost of capital comes down, investors will see that and will move back into the sector.
Excellent. Richard, thanks so much for your time today.
My pleasure.
And to our listeners, if you enjoyed this episode of the REIT Report, please subscribe or leave a review on your favorite podcast platform.